I'm Angie Robertson, and you're listening to Spirit-Led Life, episode 13. Today we are wrapping up the Soul Care series with this last episode. We'll do a recap of some important takeaways from the previous episodes, and I'll share a personal story of how healing fear in my soul led me to freedom with a horse named Reba. Let's go to the show. Welcome back, or if you're new to the show, welcome. I want to take a moment to say thank you for listening. I've received so many messages, and I've had lovely conversations with actual people in real life, in person, and it really encourages and inspires me to keep moving forward with the calling God has given me. Your words mean so much to me, and along with God's promises He's given me, it helps me combat the negative voices that show up from time to time. So I just wanted to take a moment to say a great big thank you. We've been in this series of Soul Care, and how this series came about was I was preparing for another series of how the Holy Spirit works in us, for us, and through us. And God said to me, before we can go into that series, there were people who needed to actually do some soul healing. He shared with me that healing our soul will bring freedom so that we can more easily connect our spirit with His spirit. And when he said this to me, I knew he was right. He instantly brought to mind, though, a very good friend of mine, Latara Venice, who is a soul care coach. And I know Latara has done some deep soul care work and could speak really to God's truth along with sharing her own experience. So in episode 11, Latara gave us some words, and I thought I would share with you some of the things that I took away from our conversation. And for time's sake, I'm not going to go over all the points that were kind of aha moments for me. I just noted a couple of things that I thought I would share here. One of the first things she shared was, if you're in Christ, your spirit man is good. It's your soul that needs some help. I totally didn't even consider that. I mean, I know God told me that we need to take care of our souls, but it never dawned on me that our spirit is given to us by Jesus, and it is perfect in Christ. It also makes sense why it is so important to tap into our spirit, because it is connected to Jesus, and He is the perfecter of our faith. I'm not sure if you had an aha like I did, but it just really resonated with me. Another key takeaway from our conversation is that so many people want supernatural deliverance, and that can occur, but there's a practical application that has to take place. She gave us examples in the Bible of steps people took to receive deliverance or a healing, like get in the water, lift up your hands. I mean, I had a duh moment when she said that. I know sometimes I can focus so much on looking for the supernatural that I don't take the practical step so that the supernatural can happen and take place. We continued our conversation about being emotionally stunted and soul maturity. When our soul is dinged up, it's hard for us to step fully into our godly identity. Moving on to episode 12, we had Karen Houck, and I experienced firsthand the work God is doing through Karen to heal our souls, so I knew she was the next person I wanted to have on the show. I love Karen's wisdom, truth bombs, and the love of the Father that she just exudes. There were so many takeaways from my conversation with Karen. It was hard to narrow them down to just two, but these are the ones that stood out to me the most. Sometimes we hit these walls and we're not moving forward, or the same patterns are getting repeated. It's important for us to have the perception of how God sees what's going on in our lives versus how we see it. This is something that I've been trying to do more often, asking God, how does He see the situation? It has been a practice for sure, because I can so let my emotions take over and get the best of me. If I can just stop and allow God to show me how He sees the situation, it's like getting a 50,000-foot perspective and also seeing through the lens of God's eyes, which is love. The next point that I took away from my conversation with Karen is I knew on a subconscious level, but her putting words to it changed everything for me. Fear will always agree with you when you're negative about yourself. Fear is never going to be the voice that says, Good job. Way to go. I love how you're doing that. I mean, that was a dumb moment for me, but actually explaining it like this helps me to recognize that when my spirit is going into uncharted territory, my soul will put up all the protective barriers and do everything it can to keep me safe. I can now recognize this. It's also another practice that I'm going to have to do daily. These conversations were rich, and it is my prayer that you gained some knowledge and wisdom to begin to recognize where your soul needs healing, and you have some guidance on steps to take to begin healing your soul so you can step into your God-given identity and connect with God more intimately. I know this was a short series, and believe me, there is so much more we could talk about, but really anything beyond understanding we need to heal our souls and some practical places to start, we would start getting into modalities. And what I mean by modalities is different types of therapy techniques. I will have guests on from time to time to discuss healing our soul through various modalities. And in fact, I'm going to talk about how a particular modality helped me to overcome a specific fear. The reason I didn't want to talk about modalities in full now is because modalities are going to be personal. There are so many resources out there for times when we just can't do the soul healing work by ourselves, and we need someone to help us remove the block that is there. There is no shame in seeking help. We know that God created everything, and He creates nothing evil. He loves to give good gifts to His children. And we can see this in Matthew 7:11, when Jesus says, "If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask Him?" Now, while God is the creator, man can for sure muck things up. I mean, look at Adam and Eve. And I'm not going to go any further with that other than to say there are some modalities that were designed in love and have been distorted by our culture. It is really important to seek the Holy Spirit when considering a modality. And if you feel strongly against it, then it isn't right for you. However, that doesn't necessarily mean that that particular modality isn't right. It just isn't right for you. Oftentimes, I see influential believers call out certain modalities and say they are wrong, when in actuality, it was a conviction specifically for them and only for them. Because of that person's platform, it causes others to believe the same. However, God can redeem anything. You know, so there's that. This is why it is important to know that different modalities work for one person that may not work for another. Seeking deeper treatment for your soul is very individually based, and always consult the Holy Spirit, and He will guide you to what you need. I was going to have one more guest on the show who was pivotal in helping me with the story I'm about to share. She used to practice a particular modality, but has since felt convicted to study about it further and contemplate whether God wants her to continue practicing in this method. When I approached her about being on the show, she couldn't in her own conscience come on and talk about something that she was still contemplating, and so I admired her for that. Despite her contemplation, though, we both celebrated my breakthrough and gave God all the glory for the work that she and I did together that contributed to this breakthrough. One very hot summer day back in 1995, I was a part of a church singles group, and we decided to go horseback riding. We piled into the car, none of us looking like we were horseback riders, or I don't know if that's what you would call us, whatever. We were wearing shorts, t-shirts, and sneakers, but it was just too hot to wear anything else. And if we could have ridden in flip-flops, we would have. And actually, I think one of us did. Anyway, we drove out to the farm in the middle of Nowheresville. We pulled up to the horse stable, and all these horses were lined up on the fence. Now, these horses looked like they needed to do anything but trail ride. They were skinny, old, tired, and hot. We made our way out of our cars, and once checked in, the stable hands began assigning us horses. I told them I had never ridden before, and I wanted a gentle horse that would just follow the pack. No problem. They walked my horse up to the stepping block so I could mount him, and I looked at that horse and I thought it might be better if I actually walked him instead of ride him. He was probably the oldest horse, and he was not interested in being mounted or going for a walk. He just wanted to sit at his water trough and drink. Now, if I had been more in tune with the Holy Spirit at that time, I would have paid more attention to that little, still, small voice inside of me that said, "Sit this one out." But I wasn't, so I didn't. I mounted my horse and all was fine. We started out on the trail, which at first was an open field before you actually arrive to the narrow trail. My horse was doing good and following along until we started to get to that narrow trail. He then began turning his head, and the more I tried to turn him the other way, the more he ignored me. He then did a complete about face and proceeded to run as fast as he could back to the stables. Now, my screaming the entire way didn't help the situation at all. It just made him run even faster. Amidst my panic, though, I was hanging on for dear life until I saw this huge ditch that was approaching. And it stretched the entire width of the field, so there was no going around it. We were either going to go over it, and either I was going to fall off as he did that, or we were both going to fall in it, or maybe by some sheer miracle, he would jump it with me intact. I screamed even louder when I saw that ditch, which must have indicated to him that he better clear it while I was still on him. He continued running, and we cleared that ditch, and he ran all the way back to the stable, to which he slowed down and casually walked up to his water trough and began drinking like a camel. I couldn't get off that horse fast enough. My entire body was shaking. My legs literally felt like jello, and I could barely walk. I was so scared and angry, and I was bawling my eyes out. That was the end of my riding days. From that point forward, anytime I would see a horse or think about that moment, I would have anxious panic inside. Horse riding, though, wasn't something that was a hobby for me, so I never really addressed it and addressed that fear that came up. I just lived with it and kind of put it in the back of the recesses of my mind. So jump ahead to, I think it was about 2020, and one of my clients, who is also a very good friend and she's an amazing coach, used a particular method in her practice called EFT, or Emotional Freedom Techniques. I'll do my best to describe it, but it's really experiential, so it is something you have to use to better understand it. It's a method that some individuals have found helpful in managing their emotions. EFT tapping, as it's known to, is a mind-body method of tapping acupuncture points, or acupoints, on your hands, face, and body with your fingertips while focusing on an issue or feeling you're hoping to resolve. This method may reduce stress and anxiety, improve performance, lessen cravings, and help resolve fears. As she and I worked together, I became interested in learning more about this technique, and she said the best way to understand it was actually to experience it. So one day on one of our meetings, we decided to do a little practice, and she asked me if there were any particular fears that maybe weren't too complicated that we could work on so that I could experience the process. I thought and thought, and then I remembered the fear of the horses I had because of my experience. I shared the story with her, and she said that would be perfect to work on. We were on a Zoom call, so she showed me where she wanted me to start tapping on my head, face, body, as I was thinking about the experience and describing the experience in one or two sentences, followed by kind of like a positive statement. For example, "I feel anxious thinking about riding horses. I am safe and loved." And you keep doing this process and saying different statements as you tap. After you go through this process several times, you then check in with yourself to see if you still feel anxious. In my case, when I would think of horses, did I still feel anxious? If so, you continue tapping. If not, you've released the emotion surrounding the topic. We tapped through multiple times, and when we stopped to take an assessment of how I was feeling, I had no anxious feelings when I thought of the story of the horses. I was amazed and couldn't believe it. It was the strangest feeling, though, to not have any anxious panic attacks in my body whenever I gave that thought, that story a thought. After my breakthrough, I was ready to test this new response out. The walking park I go to has a horse trail, and frequently there are horses there. In the past, when I would see them, this anxiousness would rise up in me. It was about a week after our session, and I finally saw some horses at the walking park, but there was no anxious feeling. It kind of blew my mind. I decided to take it a step further and see if I could find a ranch who was offering riding trails. I had no luck until at the end of this year, last month, which now we're talking about 4 years after that original session I had with my friend. A group of ladies at our church decided to get together and go for a trail ride. This was my chance to test out the work that I did back in 2020. I was wondering if it would still be in effect all these years later. I was so excited to find out. I immediately signed up, and I didn't have any hesitation or fear when I did sign up. When the day came for our trail ride, it was the most perfect day. The sun was shining, not a cloud in the sky. The temperature was perfect, not too hot and not too cold. I was geared up in my jeans, hiking shoes, and ready to go. I would say I looked like a horse rider. We pulled up to the stables, and I was like a little girl. I was so giddy with excitement, I couldn't wait. Those horses weren't tired looking or old or skinny. They were beautiful, and there were so many different breeds. One by one, they would bring the horse up to the mounting block and call out its name and the type of horse it was. There were about 8 of us, so when it got down to about 3 of us left, including myself, they brought out a beautiful pony, which I've actually learned isn't about their age. When I think of pony, I think of a baby horse. It's actually about the size of the horse. But anyway, my horse's name was Reba, and she had red-brown hair just like the singer. She had a sweet face, and I shouted out, "I'll take her!" I mounted up on Reba and still had no fear or anxious thoughts. I introduced myself to her, and I gave her a rub on the side of her face, and she kind of stepped forward so the next rider can mount. As we waited on the last few people and our guides to mount up, Reba wanted to socialize with the other horses, so she kept walking around even though I was trying to pull her reins and stop her. Still, I had no fear. She had a little mind of her own and was excited to go. We started to form our line, and Reba decided she wanted to be up front with the lead horse, so she just made her way all the way up to the front of the line. She didn't run, she just kept moving until we got to the front. Again, I still wasn't anxious or scared. I just enjoyed the beautiful day and the wonderful friendship of our group. Reba continues to show her stubborn independence by trying to graze as we were walking the trail, and the guide would yell at me and tell me to pull her head up so she would stop eating the grass. And listen, Reba is strong. I mean, it's a horse after all, right? And that girl just wanted to eat. And she certainly wasn't going to let me stop her. But all in all, though, she walked the entire trail and was so gentle and amazing. It was a day for the books, and I could not stop talking about it when I got home and shared my experience with Dave. I was able to be present, and I had a peace that passed all understanding. After I got home and shared my day with Dave, I texted my friend who did the tapping work with me to share photos and the experience. We both celebrated the freedom God had given me and the fear that was released just from using this modality. Now, while I share about this particular modality, it isn't the modality that I want you to walk away with, although for someone this might resonate or be something the Holy Spirit brings to your attention. What I really want you to take away from this share is that you understand that fear is an emotion, and emotions make up our soul. And when we do the work of healing our soul, it allows God to work freedom in us. I mean, look at the freedom I experienced in just this one tiny instance in my life. How much more God wants to free us of the big fears. And believe me, I still have plenty of big fears. Soul work is so important and so necessary. It isn't something that we arrive at or we complete. It will be ongoing because we have different experiences in our lifetime that affect our soul. Before we move on and I share this week's HPS, if you aren't on the list to receive notifications of when new episodes drop and behind the scenes I share only in the email and nowhere else, be sure to visit spiritledlifepodcast.com, and you will see the subscriber form. Fill that form out and you will be added to the list. For this week's Heavenly Position System Challenge, as always, we are taking out our journals and finding a quiet place if possible. For the next 15 minutes, ask God to reveal any fears you have been carrying, maybe even subconsciously. Ask Him to reveal to you what type of support you might need to experience freedom. It can be anything from just acknowledging it and working with the Holy Spirit to maybe working with someone and doing a little bit of soul care work. As I close, I will leave you with 1 John 4:4-6 in the Message translation. And these verses are a good guide to use in making decisions, such as when you are considering different modalities. It reads, "My dear children, you come from God and belong to God. You have already won a big victory over those false teachers, for the Spirit in you is far stronger than anything in the world. These people belong to the Christ-denying world. They talk the world's language and the world eats it up, but we come from God and belong to God. Anyone who knows God understands us and listens. The person who has nothing to do with God will, of course, not listen to us. This is another test for telling the spirit of truth from the spirit of deception." Amen. Thank you so much for joining me for today's episode. And be sure to tune in each week so we can learn together how to have a spirit-led life.